Hello, everyone. Welcome to the first ever episode of the Dota Obs podcast. I'm your host, Bobo. Well, to answer the first and most obvious question, what exactly is the Dota Obs podcast and what is it about? Well, to answer the question, it is much like the Observer Awards in the game, where the whole purpose of the podcast is to give observations about Dota itself. And those observations can include anything from trends to insights to answering any questions you may have or want me to look into and providing personal experiences I've had with the game. So before we get into the episode itself, I'll introduce myself a little bit more so you know a little bit more about me and my experience and background with Dota. So like I said, my name is Bobo. That's been the Steam name I've kept for the longest time. I've changed it tons of times like everybody has, but that's the one I enjoy the most. You know, I don't know where the name came from. I couldn't tell you, but you know, it's the one that's looking like it's here to stay. So I first started playing Dota on Warcraft 3, actually, when it was a custom game on there. It was called Dota All-Stars back then, I believe, if I remember right. And I only played three heroes on it. At least three that come to my mind. I played Lifestealer, Dragon Knight, and Weaver. And, you know, they were all super easy, pretty straightforward. I think I might have done the same build on all of them. I remember I bought Sage and Yasha all the time on them. I think I played Weaver the most, but I always bought SNY on him because it was, I didn't have to do anything with the item. I remember I liked that aspect of it, and it was just super easy. And I just remembered that one just the easiest out of all of them, you know. But other than that, I didn't touch, like, any of the complex heroes. I didn't play it a ton. I just played it every now and then with my friends who were, like, a lot better and played it a lot more. So I played that a little bit, but then I just stopped playing for a while. I don't remember. There's no reason I did. It just kind of fizzled out for whatever reason. And then years later, I picked it back up in about 2016. And I remember I went over to a friend's house and he was playing it. He was playing a game of Dota. So I watched him for a little bit and then I was like, oh, that looks kind of cool. And then we hung out for a little bit. And then later on that week, I went back over there and then the game updated to Dota 2. Or maybe he was playing Dota 2, but I remember, or maybe it was a new patch that came out. I just remember he was like fiddling around with the game. He like put cheats on and was like playing Earth Spirit, rolling around everywhere and like, you know, had free spells. And he just wanted to see like just what was new with the game and how the feel of it was. And I remember watching him. So I watched him play another game after that. And I remember thinking like, this game looks pretty cool. Like I remember being pretty fun on Warcraft, but I never got too into it. And he was playing with another group of his friends and they're all like really, really good. Like, I think he was around like 4.4K MMR around that time. And he's played with pros, you know, people who are like high immortal and everywhere in between, like, you know, him and mortal rank, like, you know, very high MMR players. So anyways, I watched him play, looked a lot of fun. And I was like, that game looks pretty cool. Like, I think I might pick it back up. So, you know, think me and my naive self. I was like, yeah, I can just pick it right back up. It'll be really easy. So I downloaded it. I started playing a game with him. And I remember him saying, so I played Dragon Knight first game, I remember. And I went against a Kunkka in the offlane. And I remember going offlane specifically because my friend said, I was like, where should I go? Like, what lane do you want me to go to? He's like, just go offlane. I was like, okay. And the only advice he gave me was, don't die. And I was like, really? He's like, yes, just don't die, don't feed, and we'll be fine. And I was like, okay. And this was back when the offlane was solo. You only had one dedicated offlane hero. Then you had a jungler, then just the one mid hero, and then the two safe lane heroes, the carry and the support. I couldn't tell you who the support was. I honestly can't remember. But I just remember I had no idea how Kunkka's Tidebringer worked. I just remember every time I'd walk up to try to get a last hit, he would just hit one of the creeps and my health would drop like a ton, like a quarter of the way. And I just remember thinking, what is going on? I can't touch this guy. I can't do anything. And every single time, and I can tell you how many times I died that game or in the laning stage. All I know is I died a lot and it was not fun because I had no idea what I was doing. And the guy was clearly, because I was playing with friends and people who are a lot better than me. So here's a brand new player coming in, playing with people who, you know, who already have hundreds, if not thousands, of hours in the game already. So the skill discrepancy was already, you know, as wide as you can get. And anyways, I can't remember. I can't find the stats on Dota Buff. I just know I'm pretty confident we lost that game, I like to say. So, you know, and from then on, I just kept playing, though, which is pretty miraculous, you know, because Dota is could be a pretty cruel game at times, as, you know, we'll get into a little bit later. But yeah, so from 2016 on, I've been playing pretty consistently ever since then. So for about 5 years now. For this episode of the podcast, we'll be going over a very broad intro of Dota 2 itself, and specifically touching on two topics. First one being what you should expect, and the second one, the overview of the game. Now, I've chosen these ones in this order because, as we all know, the new player experience in Dota is very rough. Dota's not an easy game. It's actually a very stressful game. I mean, if you look at it, the average length of a game of Dota is about 39 minutes. And obviously, you know, we've all had games that have, you know, that have ended at 25 minutes, 20 minutes, something like that. And we've also all had the grueling experience of having a game that's gone on for 70 minutes or 90 minutes or, heaven forbid, you know, 2 hours, which I have heard of, you know, games going like that. And I'm sure people have had several experiences with it. But so that alone, that's like a pretty big time commitment just to play one game of it. It's not like a game of a shooter game of like Halo or something like that, where, you know, sometimes a game could be like 10 minutes or something like that. It's a very team oriented game. I think that's the other aspect of it that makes it so difficult, is because even though it's a lot easier to play solo and do your own thing, most often, and I know this is subjective because sometimes you get like the smurfs in the game or people who just flat out like carry the game and just perform like just way out of this world, that like one hero just walks over everybody. But ultimately, you know, the games are mostly won by coordinating as a team to some degree. And the biggest thing that I always try to tell people is to play with people, you know, even if the person's way better than you. Playing with somebody you know, even if they're coaching you, can be a huge help as well. Make friends in the game and play with them as often as possible. Because, like I said, I had this friend when we were learning the game that I could just suffer through with, because we both started learning at the same time, and it made it so much easier. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, that like it was so easy that like the suffering was easy. No, the suffering part was terrible. We lost so many games. We were so bad learning the heroes and just learning the game itself. It's hard. You know, it's very hard. And the other thing that I would say to expect as well is toxicity. And as much of a bummer as it is, because it sucks that it's around, you know, every now and then you will get those players that are just not very pleasant, you know, whether it's your own teammate, which is worse than an opposing team. You can always, you know, you can always mute them. And that's obviously the first thing I always say, but it still sucks, you know, when somebody like, you know, just says something like kind of crazy or attacks you in a way when you make a little mistake, because the reality is we all make mistakes a ton in the game. Even every now and then, even the pro makes mistakes, you know, but that's what makes them pros, is like when they make a mistake, it's so easy to see, but it's because they are so good at the game. So I'm just trying to help gauge expectations of the game with saying these things, with just giving you like the average length of the game, how team oriented it is, and just ultimately trying to play with people, you know. I think those are three important aspects, because it helps make the experience of the game just a lot easier to cope with and deal with when you're just trying to absorb this mountain of information coming at you. Another aspect of the game that I would prepare yourself for is to experience the highest of highs and lowest of lows. You know, we've all seen those funny videos of like the gamers raging, whether it's like through Call of Duty or Halo or some sort of like, you know, online multiplayer battle royale FPS game, or even just others like fun board games. You know, it is really hard. And because the thing with Dota is, like I said, so when the game is 39 minutes, and the thing is, you will have some games where from 10 minutes, as early as 10 minutes, even 5 minutes, your team will suddenly be really far behind. Like the other player's team, you've died a ton, you have no farm, you have no items, and the game's already miserable. And it's not even been 10 minutes yet. Well, it's not like, you just die or you can leave the game, or you can leave the game, but there are consequences if you do, which we can touch on a little bit later. But it's not like you die or you can just quickly quit out of the lobby and restart. You have to go through however much longer the game lasts. So if that's that, so 10 minutes, starting at 10 minutes, that's another, 29 minutes of just losing and suffering. And that just is not fun at all. Nobody likes to lose for however much longer the game will last. And it makes the game feel so much longer too. And the biggest thing I always tell people is you will not get a foundation of understanding until around 1,000 hours. And even then, it is, and when I say a foundation, I'm talking just raw understanding. Like, you know the items, you know the heroes well, and I hope you at least know after 1,000 hours, which I know people hear, like, 1,000 hours, that is forever long. Well, trust me, like with this game, because the meta changes a lot too, because they do updates of the game, which is actually really nice because it helps keep the game fresh and not get stale. But I always use a 1,000 hour benchmark because that's really how long it took until I at least knew, like, okay, I at least know all the heroes to a degree. I know all the items to a degree. Like, I know what the heroes do. I know what the items do. It didn't mean I was good by any means. I just had a raw understanding of the game. You're going to get a mixture of amazing and terrible teammates, everything in between kind of touches back on the trying to play with people you know part. And just remember that winning in the game is amazing, losing absolutely sucks. And you are definitely going to remember more of the latter, except for those euphoric wins where you come like from behind, where you're literally about to lose, but then somehow, you make this epic play and like you team wipe their whole team and you just dive down mid and you barely kill the Ancient when they're about to kill you, or something like that. Like, those games are glorious, and obviously definitely remember those and keep those in mind. The bar just overall remember the barrier of entry for Dota is dauntingly high. It's very easy to get turned off of the game and to get turned away. A lot of people have played bots matches, which has helped. But again, this is coming back to why I keep emphasizing just to try to play with people you know. And I know not everybody is fortunate enough to have that. So that's why I say make friends on there, because as you get into playing the game and to playing ranked games, you'll start with people around you or MMR. It may sound a little cheesy as well, but just make friends with them, play with them. I've met a few people on there that I now play with regularly who are around my skill level, and it's really nice because odds are at least one of them will be on, so we can usually get at least a full party going, which makes the game a lot more fun as well, because playing with a group of five rather than by yourself, I think personally, is a lot more fun. It's just a lot more enjoyable. It's easier to do team coordination, and it just makes the whole overall experience of the game a lot more enriching. Moving on to the second point, we'll just be doing a very brief and general overview of the game itself. So the whole goal is to destroy the opposing team's Ancient. You do this by killing enemy heroes and then taking preceding objectives, which includes towers, barracks, and then the Ancient itself, the very big building in the middle of their base. The game is separated out into three stages: the early, mid, and late game. I like to look at these stages by timing benchmarks. So the early game starts obviously at the very beginning from minute 0 to around 15 minutes, and then the mid game 15 to 30 minutes, and then the late game 30 minutes onward. Now, these aren't hard benchmarks of like timings, of the game stage itself, so you don't have to literally think of it like, okay, this is, minute 15, boom, this is the mid game. Minute 30, boom, this is late game. That's just around when those stages of the game start to transition and happen. I like to just remember those timings because for me, it helps me keep in mind, like, okay, my hero is approaching a power spike right now. So, for example, let's take Nightstalker. He has a very strong power spike at mid game. So, around 15 minutes is, or even before then, like leading up to 15 minutes, you should start to realize, like, I am very strong right now. So, I'm going to go and make some chaos and some movement across the map and start imposing my power spike among the game to help, capitalize on this advantage that I have. Then of your team, it's usually separated into five positions within the five heroes, one through five. And those are separated by farm priority. So obviously, position one has the highest, and then position five has the lowest. Position one is classified as a carry, position two is the mid, position three is the offlane, position four is a soft support or roamer, depending on your team orientation, and then position five is the hard support. Where Dota really shines is the heroes and items. Currently in the game, there are 120 heroes and 226 items. And what's interesting is, even it was only about a year ago, if I remember right, that they added in the neutral items, and there's 56 of those. You can't get all of them throughout the game. It's kind of random. They're split out into tiers, and every tier has 11 neutral items, and they get progressively better as the game goes on. And there's like timing benchmarks as you get them. And some of those, even those neutral items by themselves, can have a drastic impact on the game. But so with the heroes and items, the game has seemingly infinite depth. New discoveries happen all the time. I remember when we first saw a Grimstroke go mid in a pro game. I can't remember which tournament it was or which pro did it. I almost want to say it's probably Thompson because he's always doing like these wonky, unorthodox mids. But I feel like that's just OG in general. They're just very unorthodox and kind of unpredictable. They're super fun to watch because of that. But so we saw him go mid at the Grimstroke, and with my group of friends I play with, one of them, he really likes to go mid. He's kind of like a primary. He likes to go mid a lot because that's just the lane he's most familiar with, and the one everybody's kind of defaulted into roles, and that's the one he's like found himself playing most of the time. He's really good at it. So he was like, "Hey, that looks super fun. Let's try it." I actually found out it's pretty good. I mean, we're not pros by any means. We are very, very far away from that. But the nice part is we never saw a Grimstroke mid really a whole lot in our skill bracket. So we did. We already had the advantage of being really unorthodox. People didn't quite know how to play against it. And we found out in our experience, it's actually pretty good and pretty reliable. I mean, that's just one small example of like a new discovery happening. As you keep playing the game, and as we've seen, a lot of heroes have a wide variety of options. For example, let's take Ember Spirit. The one of the most versatile heroes in the game. I don't think I've ever seen him played as a five, but I've definitely seen him played as a four and every position above that as well. With Ember Spirit, you can go two builds, magic or physical, because he has, even alone, he has abilities that are primarily physical or magic damage. So if you're like, okay, this game, there's a lot of high armor heroes on your team, I'm gonna go the magic damage build. So I'm gonna max out, my flame guard first. I don't know if you max it out per se, but I know you get at least two early points on it is the most common thing, is the most common start to the build I see. Everybody almost always goes sleight of fist first. It's just such a good ability. It can help you secure last hits, and it increases his mobility a lot. But you do a lot of early points in flame guard, and then you keep on putting other points in sleight of fist. And then with items on top of that, you can build a Veil of Discord, a Maelstrom, Radiance, Octarine Core, Ags. But I feel like that's more of a core item on him lately because ever since the new Ags change on the hero, his Ags is just way too good to pass up. And then on the flip side, if you want to go physical damage, then you max out sleight of fist. You do sleight of fist and searing chains so you can catch the opposing heroes and then just start just right clicking them to death. And then even with item builds, you build Battle Fury. I've seen Desolator a few times. I feel like that's kind of more situational and optional. I don't think it's always the right choice or the go-to. And then you can build Daedalus, Monkey King Bar, and Zangin Yasha. And these aren't like, you don't build these items in that order per se, but these are common items among those builds with the hero. And that's just a very, brief, quick overview of the options you can have with one hero. I mean, we touched on his abilities, but then he has two completely like diff night and day difference builds that you can go just depending on the outlook of the game. And that's kind of where Dota really shines is, there's never one way to play one hero. I mean, definitely some heroes have like, traditional builds that have been around since I feel like, the very beginning. Like, you've seen Animage like drafted on their team. It's like, okay, you know, that any mage, he's gonna go position one, he's the carry, and he's gonna build Battle Fury. So even among that, so on a very briefly touching the hero and items, we can see just kind of these, this very broad spectrum of possibilities that can happen in the game. And that's where Dota is super fun. It just makes the game, you know, always new, and they're always updating the updating the game with patches every year, usually one big one every year that drastically changes the game. Even just changing one hero, like, you know, when a few patches ago, we all remember how stupid Sven was. You know, he would build Mask of Madness, Echo Saber, Axe, and then he would just Stormhammer. And once you saw the Sven, like, you know, Supermaning right at you, especially if you were a support, you're like, okay, I'm dead. And he would just two-shot you. I mean, I'm guilty of playing him too. And I, during that time, it was fun because it was just so stupidly strong. But, and then they nerfed him, and now we don't see him, like, hardly at all anymore. So the meta, you know, the meta constantly shifts. You know, it makes some heroes relevant, some overpowered, and others just completely disappear from the game. That is all for this first episode of the Dota Obs podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it and were able to get something from this, you know, whether you learned something or if it was entertaining or anything in between. If there's ever anything you want me to look into or have any questions about, you know, anything, please let me know. These podcasts will be regularly posted to Reddit, Spotify, and Anchor for now. So yeah, thank you so much. Good luck in your games. Have fun.